And here he is now, wanting to get married, and his mother's milk still wet on his lips, if you'll pardon the expression.
The landlord sat at the dinner table, reading a letter from Ellie Bells. The window was open a crack. Chukchus in the kitchen, Brodkin driving past in his sleigh. Chukchus looked up to see whose mouth was moving, but it was too late. Chukchus seized hold of the splashboard by every means in his power and clambered on the carriage, throwing the driver off, grabbed the reins in one fell swoop, and using words, whips, reins, and feet, drove the horses into a gallop, taking the bit between his teeth and kicking up his hind legs in a peculiarly nasty fashion. At last he managed to hoist himself up into a position where he sat back to back with the driver and face to face and knee to knee with the brave, depraved, and most obdurate yet yielding foe. Gripping her cold ivory hands, he pulled her up to his chest, still refusing to admit defeat, strove to topple the other into the mud. Snow fell in huge flakes. He pressed himself against his pitiless foe and was about to utter a cry, but it died on his lips. Chukchus rushed out into the snow, where a note with some writing, scrawled and blurred upon it, was cast. To the noble one who suffers for my sake and is eternally dear to my heart, I am in distress. I perish. Save me. A slanderer, a false priest, a notoriously worthless man has ensnared me, and I am undone, lost. Him I abominate, while you... I must leave my convent due to the child forced upon me by this pitiless man. I shall rush to your protecting embrace at 2 a.m. precisely.
My dinner is growing cold. Get in here at once. Scrape all the food out of the bottom. Here, give it to me. I have to pay good money for this food, and I want every smidgen eaten.
Juke just let the note slip from his hand, made his way up the icy stairs, and tried to get past the landlord, who stood full in the doorway, by making himself as thin as a board and sliding past the landlord's left shoulder. The landlord prayed. Dinner was brought in. The meal did not last long. Both ate hurriedly. First the salad. Almost before that was done, or on its heels, the soup was finished off, and the steak was consumed in a fury. Neither could wait till the meal was done. Having once helped himself to a slice of bread and eaten it in a second, the tenant, not because he was shy or embarrassed, but because he did not wish to appear a pauper, was afraid to reach out a second time. He scrupulously avoided taking the best of everything, and every minute assured his host that he wasn't hungry, that the meal was excellent, and that he would remember it till his dying day. These questions answered, he got up. The landlord asked him for tea, and he sat down. Lifted up the heavy pot like a swinging lever, swung it across his cold chest, steaming toward the landlord.
Not so fast,
was the landlord's command, as the hot brew rushed into his cup, spilling over into the saucer.
Don't rush with the dishes, he said.
Chukchus sat down, folded one hand over the other, crossed his legs, stared out into the uniformly gray sky, and composed himself. The meal was very long. Chukchus clenched both hands in his pocket. The meal over, the landlord took pipe from pocket, lowered matches from upper pocket and pouch from back pocket, lit his pipe while Chukchus sat with his legs gripping tight his hands. From time to time he would pull up his knees to his chest and lay his hand on his knees, but the landlord would stare in disgust, and he'd put his knees down. After dinner, Chukchus walked the streets for 4 hours, not finding the Brodkins, pacing up and down in front of the house to see if the lights had gone out. The light remained. So he crept in to talk to the landlord. But it was very difficult for him to talk. All he could do was mumble, half in and half out of the room, staring at the door, in a far away, almost drunken whisper.
Reading the papers? Settle down. With the papers for a night of reading, eh?
What?
Settle down with the papers for a night of reading, eh?
Oh, yes. Well, I like to settle down with the papers for a night of reading. I love to put on my silk robe and cuddle up at the fire. I work so hard all day.
I'm so weary, so weary. I don't get much chance to relax, you know. So I like to sit down and read. Yes, I like to read. Nothing heavy, you know, just relax. I'm so weary, so weary. Then the tenant tiptoed out the back door and fled into the cool night. For a block he cursed himself for not staying to talk and assuage the loneliness of the man to whom he owed so much. Soon he would become more likable than ever. He would more than once give evidence of having a happy, forthright nature. He would try to enter wholeheartedly into the landlord's severe mood, scorn everything, rejoice at his rejoicing, and look upon him as his one true benefactor. Instead, he walked the streets for 4 hours again. Then he sneaked up to the window and saw the white waves of his head parted in the middle, the great waves all uniformly gray, the landlord's head. If the landlord had fallen asleep over his paper, it was possible to raise the door of the garage, secure the key, unlock the door, pull the door down, and slide into bed without the landlord ever knowing he had come in. The risk was too great. The tenant walked downtown, walked uptown, looked at the movie magazines, glanced over the covers of the girly magazines, looked at the marquees of the movie houses, sat in the union of the university, then headed home. A cold blast blasted through his thick coat. All the lights were off. Chook just raised the door of the garage. He secured the key. He unlocked the door. He put the key back. He pulled the door down. He stepped into the house. The lights snapped on. The kitchen door opened. It was the landlord.
Who's there? A thief?
Chukcha's hand was on the latch of the refrigerator. His other hand held a piece of pie. He let the pie slip back into the icebox, whispered, "No," and rushed down the stairs and slid into bed with his clothes on. Someday he would have to find a job, secure a room, never see the landlord again. With daily practice, Jokers was pushing back and back the limit of the unbearable. Once again, tonight, the sound barrier of the unbearable was being crossed. He could claim what few others could.